This is Twit.
I like the front page with the memojis at WWDC. We are going to be all virtual. Yes.
Yes.
Do we know anything? Do we know? Should I download the app? What should I do?
Yeah, if you want to enjoy the work of one Serenity Caldwell, you should absolutely download that.
What?
App.
What did Serenity do in the app?
Serenity is, I forget her exact title, but she's on the Evangelist team and doing content for the developer app.
Oh, so like video content or drawings? Or
no, like blogging writing? And all sorts of amazing. Nice. Yeah, all sorts of amazing stuff. So if you've been dying for some Serenity Caldwell, like I have
been.
She is, yeah.
We were talking earlier on iOS today how so many people we know have gone to Apple and then just disappeared. But that happens. It's just because they're big companies. Like we have a number of friends who've, like Alan Malventano, who've gone to work for Intel, and poof, they just.
Then there's Christina Warren, who is bigger and brighter than ever.
Yeah, no kidding. I like that. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, she's not disappeared within the confines of Microsoft.
Yeah.
But so many people have gone. I mean, I never hear from Nathan Oliveris Giles anymore. I don't know what's going on with him. I think Apple probably...
Microsoft and Google seem to be very, like, they seem to have no problem. I can't say no problem, but they seem much easier about people podcasting and being on social networks. And Apple and some other companies seem to have much more. Like, I know if you work at Apple, you can do, like, a video game podcast. But, like, they don't want to hear you talking about technology just in case.
Can't come on Twit, that's for show.
Well, it's weird because like when you talk to them, they actually live in the future. Like they forget what devices are public or not, what the names of things are that are public or not. Yeah. And it's awkward for them.
That's actually why I never do NDAs or embargoes, because I can't remember what I know and don't know. And I want to talk about everything. And when you have like 20 or 30 hours on the air every week, you pretty much have to talk. You have to basically dump every bit of your mind out into the world. So it's better that I shouldn't know. Lisa's good. She says, I will sign it and I won't tell you. Okay.
What you don't know can't hurt her.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's good. I'm going to get her a t-shirt that says that. That's good. So what the best thing I think about developer conferences going online is we really enjoyed Microsoft Build. Everybody's invited. Yeah. What's normally a very hard ticket to get now is everybody's got one, right?
So I don't know
that's
if the ticketed part changes
jackets.
Because
yeah,
the I think you have to win one of those little contests to get the denim jackets this year. But like Apple, for a few years now, Apple's been amazing at posting, like live streaming a lot of the stuff, especially
after
stuff that
the
comes
fact,
from the
bigger
conference. Well, even some of the stuff has been live streamed, like not just the keynote, but State of the Union and whatever has been in that big central hallway has almost always been live. And then the rest will be released later. And even for the last couple of years, they've had some sessions that were only live to tape. Like nobody could go to them. There were so many sessions, they couldn't fit them on the schedule. So they would just come out virtually and you'd have to go and check the listings to see what were the unaired shows were. So that part doesn't change. It's just like what's interesting to me is some of the biggest value for the people who do get tickets is going to the developer, the design, and the App Store labs where they can talk to the people who either wrote or maintain the code, or will give them design reviews, or will give them advice about how to sell on the App Store. And that part, you know, it was famous. There's 1,000 Apple engineers here, and that part doesn't scale. And, you know, maybe Alex knows how to virtualize that way better than I can imagine. But it's hard for me to predict. Like, is it going to be like a Zoom call in batches of 300? Like, I don't know how that's going to be handled.
You know who might know?
It'll all be on Alex's streaming show every morning.
You're muted, Alex.
So the thing is that we're. One of the things we really experiment with a lot in the office hours that I do in the mornings is this idea of all of us learning together. And the reality is that what we're finding is that it's really actually pretty inefficient to talk one-on-one because it's something that someone just asked me to do a talk and I said, I can do a talk, but it has to be for 150 people. Like, I don't want to talk. I don't want to have conversations with less than like 10 people or 15 people because it's just like it's a lot of time to spend on, you know, the thing is that what I'm finding is that when you get to critical mass, you come up with the answers faster. You come up with the questions that everybody learns from when you have a big group. And so it actually is, it's actually a faster way to learn is to not have it when you're limited to what that one person's asking. But a lot of times them sitting back and watching what someone else is asking will tell them more about what they're doing. Now, you still want it to be around a certain subject, but you want it to be this you know, you want to be able to have this big group of people that are able to, you know, think about it. So I think that that whiteboard, you know, there Apple has other services, you know, in developer relations there, you can call somebody and set up a meeting and you can have a discussion with an Apple, you know, developer support where they'll sit there and talk to you about your problem the same way those whiteboards work, you know, over the, you know, over the phone, you know, or over FaceTime or whatever. And so you can, that is available all the time. I don't know if a lot of developers know that, but that whiteboard experience, not maybe not exactly the whiteboard experience, but having that discussion through the code and walking through those things is always out there, you know, available for people. But I think that the hardest part, I think, for Apple is figuring out how do you put engineers on video where they, as Renee talked about, they might say the wrong thing. So that's the most difficult part, because what we're finding is if you give people challenges like, hey, we're all going to do something together, or if they come and say, just bring their questions, you know, like, again, the office hours that I do every morning, we don't have a format. People come in and they just start asking questions about media, and it can be about film, it can be about live, it can be about audio, and there's, you know, a thoughtful discussion about that, and everybody learns, and because a lot of people don't even know what to ask. They don't know what they don't know yet, you know, and so those things start to, you know, that conversation starts to kind of solidify that process. And so I do think that the future, there's some part of the future is this kind of interactive process where you have hundreds or even thousands. I think that the system that I'm using right now would probably start to become not as useful at about 500 to 1,000. Somewhere in that range, it starts to not scale as well. But if you're thinking about individual things like, hey, today we're talking about maps. Are we really going to get 1,000 people to show up for maps? I don't know. You know, so, you know, or QuickTime or whatever, or HLS streaming, you know, and I think that there is a way to do that. But I think Apple should be doing that every day. You know, I think
instead of once a year, just kind of always.
I think every day you have a different team, and that team only does it once a month.
That's a great idea.
You know, the QuickTime team shows up once a month.
Wouldn't you love to do that? That would be so much fun.
Yeah.
And then they would, and then basically they come in and they can come in over, you know, virtually or whatever. And, you know, I think most companies should be thinking about something like this, especially now that we don't have the conferences. But Apple could have 20 groups that they want to highlight on, and maybe a couple specials here and there. They're all going to come on for an hour or two every month, and you can queue up questions and vote questions up as a group and figure out what you're going to ask. And then they just go through them. They've got a whiteboard and they can do a screen, you know, they can show you their code and they can go through those different questions and have a conversation with that audience. And now I think overall that along with releasing these videos all the time would be a lot more effective than WWDC.